I apologize for not having more to offer this month, but I've really been kind of obsessed with the birding ever since May. I had a really hot start to the first half of May, logging between 35 and 40 species, and then it just dropped off precipitously thereafter. It's been kind of exhausting because I haven't seen hardly any new birds in a month now. I think maybe one or two or three at the most. We're midway through June already, and it's just interesting to me how slow it is. And I checked my records from 2021 and determined that in June of 2021, which was the last birding big year, I only logged between six and seven birds. And at this point, I've already found approximately half of those birds. And a couple of them were pretty random ones that I will eventually find, hopefully, crossing my fingers on those ones. Yeah, June was a pretty quiet month, I guess. And that is proving to be the case this time. Last week, there was a rare sighting of a bird called a veery, which does not have many records at all in California. And I spent 3 days looking for that. I heard it plenty, but never saw it. And for the Tahoe big year, you have to actually see the species. So I was kind of skunked on that one, and now I'm in the process of trying to find a Swainson's thrush, which is another uncommon bird that does not stick around. This one's not nearly as rare as the veery, however. It's definitely not one that most people will ever see, and I've never actually seen one myself. But today was day three of looking for that before work, and then after work the last couple of nights. We heard it a lot last night. My friend who was on scene about 20 minutes before me did see it. And then we lost it in the trees and the sun was going down and it's just impossible to find. This morning, technically I saw it because I heard it calling. And then a second or two after it stopped its last call, I saw a brown bird fly off into the forest, originating from the point where I heard the Swainson's thrush calling. But I can't be 100% certain that that was the actual bird, in spite of the fact that I never heard from the bird again after that point. I'm not going to claim that one as much as I'd like to. Yeah, just very frustrating. It is a bit demoralizing and frustrating. It's not just a bit, it's a lot. Because you put in this time, you can hear it, you know, it's within like 20 meters of you and it's singing, but you just can't see it because, well, it could be on the ground, it could be high up in the tree, it could be midway on the tree, and there's a lot of foliage because we're in full spring mode getting into summer with all the leaves on the tree, so really hard to see. And then when birds angle their heads away from you, it sounds like it's really off in the distance. When they go to the left or the right, it just sounds, all that calling and vocalization that they do just almost sounds like they're throwing their voices in a lot of respect. And then you hear it echoing off of trees and rocks. There's just a lot of different factors that conspire to prevent you from actually seeing the bird. Even though you might be able to have a really good audio recording of it, it's just really hard to see them. But I will say, at the beginning of May, I just really realized that I do my best work alone, even though I didn't get it to this morning by myself. I do my best work alone, I think. Just because I can keep my mouth closed and eyes and ears open, and I don't have to feel compelled to stick with a group or to transmit my thoughts to them because, hey, I heard something. You can just respond. You can just react to what you're experiencing out there. And this was kind of reinforced when I was participating in a group birding outing about 2 weeks ago, where it was part of the whole Tahoe big year. They do a month, TINS, Tahoe Institute for Natural Science, does a monthly walk, and we'll have 15 people out there with a guide and that sort of thing. And we're all sticking to the trail, you know, trying to have as little impact as possible because, you know, there's a lot of us out there, so we can't all just be breaking trail off trail without damaging the environment, you know, dramatically. Sticking to the trail, there's a lot of side conversations, a lot of casual conversations. It's a much more casual experience. You know, normally, it's not that I don't want to see people watching me take photos. I just tend to get in pursuit and I go after them, and that's that. I don't want to wait around for people. I don't want to have to explain myself or whatever. It's just I want to be able to operate what I'm doing. So on those group outings, I really have to dial back my expectations just because I'm not going to be able to move freely about as I would if I were just with one other person or by myself, for example. Yeah, that's something that I've learned about myself when learning anything really is I need 100% focus, and to do that, being with other people in those experiences can be very distracting unless you're on the same page. I mean, this is something that I talk about when going out on group outings or skiing, for example, cross-country skiing or hiking or backpacking. You have to have a real clear set of expectations so that nobody's feeling like they're not being a part of the group or they're being sidelined because, you know, so-and-so is just going off and doing their own thing or whatever. But one friend that I've been burning with more this year, we have a good understanding about that. We're going to pursue, we're going to look. We both are, you know, kind of solo guys to begin with. So it works out that when we go bird together, there's a good unspoken language between us. And we don't have to really explain ourselves a whole lot because we get it. It's very rewarding in that respect. So in that case, it works out to be in a quote-unquote group environment. But, you know, ultimately, I do like operating alone when I'm learning something, when I'm pursuing something, when I'm exploring something, just because I don't have to transmit every thought that I have because somebody's confused about what I'm doing or whatever. It's just one of those things that I've learned over time. And I know for a lot of people, you know, people are social and they want to do this thing in a group. But man, I really encourage people to embrace being by yourself for at least part of your time out in nature, learning something, studying something. Because again, nobody can read a book for you. You have to read it yourself. You can't be in a group environment. There's a lot of endeavors that seem like, oh, it's I can have a conversation with somebody while I'm doing this too, like painting a picture, taking a photograph, birding. You can't though. If you want to do it right, and if you really want to become immersed in that experience, you have to be on your own. You have to do it yourself. I'm not saying be a loner, do everything by yourself, but if you want to dive in, that has to be incorporated into your process because it's just so imperative for you to have time by yourself to work things out for yourself. And that in and of itself is super rewarding, figuring stuff out on your own. With that birding friend that I go out with, or that I've been going out with a little bit more, we've had some really great discoveries this year. But then there's also been those experiences where he'll find it like he did last night, and then he'll try to help me find it. And I don't know, for some reason, there's something about that experience that is very challenging for me to then reacquire that species. And or he finds it and points it out to me, it's not quite as satisfying as if I found it myself. It's just one of those things that, you know, I kind of struggle where it's nice to have the help, but ultimately I want to do it myself. I want to find the bird myself or learn that technique by myself after getting the information necessary in order to perform that technique or to find that bird. Anyway, I'm going to close for now. We're just going to keep it really informal. I got to get to work, and we're going to go after work, try to find that Swainson's thrush. So if I do end up finding it, I'll let you know. Take care, everyone.